I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Just a few months ago, the U.S. relationship with Afghanistan was in a very dark place. Outgoing President Hamid Karzai was openly hostile to Washington and refusing to sign a security pact to keep U.S. troops in Afghanistan. But Karzai's successor has changed the tone. Ashraf Ghani has not only signed that security pact, he's also made it a point to thank the U.S. for helping Afghanistan and promises that his country will no longer drain America's resources.
We are not going to be a burden. We do not now ask what the United States can do for us. If I can play on President Kennedy, we want to say what Afghanistan will do for itself and for the world. And that means we are going to put our house in order.
That was Afghan President Ashraf Ghani speaking today at the Pentagon. Omar Sharifi is an Afghan doctor and currently a PhD student in anthropology here in Boston. He's planning to return to his country in the next year. And I asked him what he thought of Ghani's pledge.
Well, there are a lot of things happened in the last 12 years that completely changed not only like the landscape of Afghanistan, but the people mentality. There are a lot of achievements. We're connected to the world. So when I look back at, despite all the troubles, how much is achieved, I am very hopeful.
So when you hear President Ghani say Afghanistan needs to put its own house in order, do you believe that can actually happen?
I think that is in everybody's imagination. That's why he went through the election. That's why people voted for him. And that's why people voted for the National Unity Government. So there he is. That is, I mean, this is not like idea of a choice. It's something, a duty, no. And there is a lot of forces, both from like civil society, ordinary people, everything, everyone in Afghanistan is actually working for that. So I don't see him as a one person doing it. I see a huge wave of people around him and behind him and behind this whole democratic system to move ahead. So that's why I think once you have the popular support, why not?
So what can one person, one doctor, yourself, when you go back, what can you do?
I think we have changed so much in the last 10 years. There's the experience of the war, the experience, especially the brutal experience of Taliban, taught us to work together and to be for each other. And now the best privilege we have right now is for the first time in an unprecedented level, we are connected with the world. And we know I'm going there. Maybe I'm alone, but in my heart, I'm not alone. I'm connected with my people and more importantly, with international community.
For you, just as one person, though, what does that practically mean on a day-to-day basis? What do you anticipate? What do you envision yourself doing when you return later this year?
I hope to work for the government. I know that there will be threat of Taliban. I know there will be terrorists coming and threatening us, but we get used to that. So I try to find work both either with the government or mostly higher education institutions and work there and just convey the knowledge I've learned here. So I'm not very concerned or worried about what will happen, but I know that a lot of things there that gives me hope and energy that when I go back there are a lot to do.
I'm struck by the way you said, you know, the threat of the Taliban. Well, we just get used to that. It just seems like something that I personally would not get used to. I mean, how do you get used to threats like that?
Well, we lived. There was a Soviet war and then there was a Taliban war. And I lived all my life in Afghanistan and I saw what the Taliban did. And for me, when I say I'm getting used to Taliban, for me, it means that, well, I know who they are and I know how to cope with them. So there will be a threat. But the point is, that will scare us. I don't believe that. I don't think we'll be scared. So life will go on and we'll do our best to do. I mean, especially the Afghan young generation who grown up in the post-2001. So for them, Taliban are there, but I don't see any reason for anybody to kind of panic or say, well, we can't do anything because they're there. They're there and we are there too.
You say the Taliban are there, we're there too, but actually you're here in Boston right now. Do you think you may be minimizing the risk and the fear? I mean, what are you hearing from people back in Kabul? Are they not scared?
My mother is there. My father is there. My sister is there. My brothers are there. Everybody who I hold dear in my heart are there. That's why when I say I'm there, it means we are as a family, as a small family, and then as a big community, we're all there. So I talk to them every day, and I know what's happening. And I see how much they're hopeful for the future. I mean, every recent poll show that the Afghans are very much hopeful for the future, despite all the troubles. And I know there are a lot of challenges ahead of us. I know there are a lot of threats, but I see for the first time, especially in the last couple of years, that Kabul government is very much willing to show to the world that we are your partner, and especially the United States. So that's when I look at that, I see that.
Omar Sharifi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Omar Sharifi is an Afghan PhD student currently studying at Boston University. Someone else who's pretty optimistic about Afghanistan's future is Michelle Flournoy. She was the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy from 2009 through 2012. She's now with the Center for a New American Security. Flournoy says there has been a lot of progress since the U.S. invaded Afghanistan in 2002.
There are still very real security threats from the Taliban insurgency and so forth, but progress in terms of finally having a government we can work with and that's seen as legitimate by the Afghan people, progress in health, economics, women's rights, and so forth, and a huge investment on the part of the United States and the international community to get Afghanistan this far. The most important thing is that you had a peaceful democratic transition for the first time in Afghanistan's history. You have a government that wants to do the right thing, is increasingly building the capability to do the right thing. What we know from Afghanistan's history is when good government has the support of the international community, it can do very well and help the country make progress. When the international community pulls away or cuts off assistance and support, the Afghan government historically have fallen. We don't want, after so much blood and treasure and so much effort, to be this close to turning the corner in Afghanistan and suddenly, you know, have the whole thing reversed because we aren't, we don't stick with it.
I mean, Ashraf Ghani has declared himself proudly a technocrat. He's an intelligent man. He's got all the diplomas he needs to help steer a country. But as we know, Afghanistan is not any old country. So how does a technocrat reign in a system of corruption and really clannishness that has pervaded Afghanistan for centuries?
You know, this is something that, he's showing his political skills as well. He's having to build a broad-based coalition that cuts across the various interest areas. This is going to be a long-term project. This is, Afghanistan is one of the least developed countries of the world. Their development arc is going to take many, many years, likely decades. But what he's asking of the United States, of the international community, is not to fight Afghanistan's battles for it anymore, but simply to provide the kind of assistance and support that's necessary for him to keep chipping away and making progress inch by inch, foot by foot over time.
I mean, the way you describe this as kind of a long-term project, I suspect that Americans worry when they hear that. I mean, the idea of the U.S. and Afghanistan needing each other, long-term project, doesn't this kind of just imply an open-endedness to this relationship?
Well, I think that, Americans are rightly wary of open-ended military commitments in particular. And yet, I think if you look at almost every historical case where we've fought a war and then we've ended that war, our combat involvement in that war, as we are in this case, there's always been a sort of tail to secure our gains, whether it was continued assistance to Europe after World War II, continued assistance and advising to Korea after that conflict came to a close. And you go through the list. This is a very normal thing in security terms that you have some continued advising, assisting relationship with our military supporting the indigenous military and security forces. So I think this is very normal. I don't think it means putting American troops in combat and in harm's way. It does mean continuing to support the Afghans growing their capabilities to be in the lead, which is what they're doing today.
I've not taken any polls myself, but I do get the sense that if Americans are thinking about Afghanistan today, it's not in very proud terms and certainly not with the kind of optimism you seem to have. Why do you think that is?
I think the coverage of Afghanistan has really fallen off. And when there is coverage of what's going on, it's the negative stories. You don't read many stories documenting the success that's happened in various quarters over the last decade.
Michelle Flournoy at the Center for a New American Security. Thank you very much.
Thank you.